Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, today's gospel lesson, which you just heard, it's actually very difficult to preach on. And that may surprise you, but it's true. The reason it's so difficult to preach on is because Jesus himself thoroughly explains what it all means. The disciples didn't understand the meaning of the parable, so they asked Jesus to explain it to them. And Jesus makes very clear the meaning. He teaches it. He explains in very simple to understand, no-nonsense terms. So here's where the difficulty comes in. What am I going to do? You know, I can't explain it better than your Lord does, nor am I foolish enough to try. So maybe the way we need to approach today then is not by trying to reinvent the wheel or trying to improve on Jesus' words. Maybe we come at today by simply asking, what does it mean for us? And we'll try to answer this by considering what we hear very plainly in our Old Testament text. See, it's there in Isaiah that God says very clearly that his word accomplishes exactly what he purposes it to do. His word never fails, right? It never returns to him void or empty. It basically, like I said, God never swings and misses, ever. Now you need to think about this for a moment. See, God, like I said, God was telling this to Isaiah, who was sent by God himself to call his beloved yet very thick-necked, sinful children to repentance. And the problem, though, is that those folks didn't think that they were doing anything evil, or even wrong, for that matter. In God's eyes, though, it was evil. It was sinful. It was rebellious. And that's why God was telling them again and again and again to repent, to turn from their wicked and sinful ways. You know, turn and flee from the false prophets and the idol worship. Turn and flee from that false saccharine that was being passed off to them as gospel. You know, that the false gospel of works righteousness and that false comfort and assurance that it was giving them. He says, turn and flee from it all. Hold fast to God. Hold fast to his truth. Sadly, though, the people wouldn't listen. The more Isaiah preached, the more he sowed the seed of truth, the more it seemed like none of it was working. The people weren't repenting. They weren't turning from their sins. In fact, the people became more and more irritated with Isaiah the more he preached to them. And they would eventually turn violent, even murderous. Church tradition tells us that Isaiah was actually sawn in half, lengthwise, from top to bottom, sawn in half by his own people. That's how much they hated that word. All this refusal to repent, all this open rebellion against God, does it mean that God's word was somehow ineffective or impotent? You know, was Isaiah doing something? Was God doing something wrong? This is when God comforts Isaiah and the faithful little remnant of Israelites. He says, look, my word is accomplishing that which I purpose. It's not returning to me void or empty. It's succeeding in the very thing for which I sent it. Now, that's hard to take. You know, when you think about it, can you imagine being on the receiving end of that? That's hard to take. God's word is succeeding, huh? In spite of the fact that it's a dead ringer for failure. And you know, it gets even more difficult to understand when we do consider these words in light of the parable that Jesus teaches in the gospel lesson. Right? We understand God succeeding in the case of the seed that was sown in good soil. That makes sense to us, right? The seed sown and it yields an abundance of good fruits. Well, duh. I mean, that's what we want. That's what we expect. But to say that God accomplished exactly what he purposed in the other three tragic instances too? I mean, that makes it sound like God purposefully sowed seed to fail. It sounds like he purposefully sowed seed to die. No, God desires the death of no one, right? I mean, the scripture is clear on this. That's the truth. God desires the death of no one. And the wage of sin is death, isn't it? And that's why the seed of his word of truth, that's why it gets sowed out to everyone. The word tells the necessary unvarnished truth about sin, everybody's sin. Just cuts right to the chase. This is truth. God's word dares to call things exactly what they are, which is not very popular nowadays, is it? God calls things exactly the way they are. And he does this out of a divine fatherly love, so that everyone can know the truth and they can repent and flee from such sin and hold fast to Him. God loves us enough to tell us the truth, even if it hurts our feelings. And you know what? Maybe that's something we don't often think about or recognize, especially in today's culture, where it's almost criminal to hurt somebody's feelings. The fact that feelings do sometimes get hurt by God's truth, when that truth confronts them in their sin. The fact that feathers do sometimes get ruffled and people do take offense at God's word when it confronts them in their sins and their lies, when it calls out the false doctrines that they hold so dear. You know, when God's word is doing these things, it's all proof that His word is accomplishing exactly what He purposes. Now again, it's not that God is desiring to hurt us. No, that's not the case at all. God doesn't desire to hurt us. He desires us. But the only way that happens is if we repent and turn and hold fast to Him in faith. So yeah, God's word does not return to Him void or empty. It accomplishes exactly what He purposes. And again, I know that's a tough pill to swallow, especially when we're not seeing the results we expect to see or want to see, you know, the results we pray for. I get it, man. Just think of all the times you've prayed to God and you were left feeling like you struck out. The results you prayed for, they never came to fruition. You know, family members, loved ones, they didn't repent. Instead, they rebelled. They take offense at hearing the word that tells them so clearly that you're holding fast to lies. You know, if faith comes through hearing the word, well, then why aren't they coming to faith? That kind of failure hurts, doesn't it? I mean, you talk about feelings of void and emptiness. But you know, maybe that's the whole problem. We're not seeing what we want to see because, well, we're not looking for the right things. We're not seeing what God is showing us. I know this is going to rattle a few cages, but folks, God has never said that our will and our desires will always succeed or succeed at all. He never says it. What God has so clearly said is that His word and His will always succeeds. So again, we go back to that parable. What is God endeavoring to show you by means of this parable? What is God revealing to you about yourself by means of this parable? And I'll invite you, look in the mirror, right? Look in the mirror of His word and truth. Do you sometimes allow the seed of His word to immediately be snatched away? You know, are there times when you immediately dismiss the word that you hear because, well, you don't like it or it doesn't sit well with you? You know, you disagree. You know, God, things have changed. Times are different now. It's different in my case. Is it? You know, God's word is eternal and unchanging. Sin is sin. Murder, adultery, promiscuity, gossip, divorce, covetousness. I mean, how many politicians run on covetousness? That's what a political platform is nowadays, isn't it? All of these things I just named off, guys, they're just as sinful in God's eyes today as they were from the very beginning. But rather than repent of the sin, what do we so often do? We dismiss it. We condone it. We justify it. And then we wonder why we feel so empty and disconnected from God. You know, well, maybe because we've been snatched away. You know, ask yourself again here. We want to look at the second planting. Are you sometimes not rooted in the life-giving good soil of Christ's word and sacraments? And think about it. When life hits the fan, when you're feeling parched and wilted and empty, is it maybe because, you know, is it because God has failed? Or is it maybe because you're not rooted in Him? You know, the same goes for the weeds and the thorns of this life that rise up and tend to choke us out, right? How many times have you had more important things to do? You know, more important than God, huh? That's amazing. Have the pleasures of life, the recreation, have they ever kept you from Christ and His good gifts? Have the worries of life ever kept you from these good gifts of life and nourishment? Yeah, you know, and yet we're quick to blame God, aren't we? We're very quick to lament about how God seems so distant from us. You know, God doesn't seem to be coming through and fixing the problems and the hurts and the sorrows. Guys, in all these instances, which I know every one of us can relate to, in all these instances, the results are plain to see. We aren't the squeaky clean Christians. We aren't the perfect soil that we so often think we are. So I want you to listen to the words that your Lord himself has taught you to pray. Right? He says, thy will be done. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Guys, there's nothing in there about my will be done. It's thy will be done, God's will. And what is the will of the Father? Right? Thinking in terms of results, you want to know the will of the Father? Look to the cross. This is the will of the Father. Now, does this, the crucifix, Christ on the cross, does that look like anything that we'd ever anticipate, anything that we'd ever hope for in terms of bearing witness or witnessing the love of God? No, but that's exactly it, isn't it? I mean, that's exactly what it is. This is the love of God. This is the incomprehensible love of God for you. It's made flesh and nailed to a cross. For you, for your forgiveness, for your life, for your salvation. Guys, the will of God is that no man dies in his sin. That's the will of God. It's not that you're fat, dumb, and happy. No, the will of God is that no man dies in his sin. The will of God is that all turn from their sin and hold fast to him, hold fast to his undeserved grace, mercy, and peace that surpasses all understanding. So yeah, you look to the cross, the results of his love are plain to see, not just on the cross even. The results of his love for you are plain to see in your presence, in your hearing, right? Just think of what we'll do here in a few minutes. Take and eat, take and drink for the forgiveness of all your sin. Guys, this is God's love for you, and this love will never fail. He says, my grace is sufficient. And it is, right? Here's the proof. Here it is. Here are the results. And you know what? That's all that needs to be said for the day. May this seed of his law and gospel that I've just sown out here, may it take root in your heart and spring up to bear abundant fruit, abundant, repentant, God-pleasing fruit in all that you say and all that you do all the time. May you ever, by God's grace alone, may you ever be the good and receptive soil that he desires for all men. And may this gracious divine reality, I pray that it gives you the very results he intends, which is his peace. And may this same peace, which does surpass all understanding, may this same peace guard and keep your hearts and minds in him from now until that time when the Lord of the harvest himself will mercifully uproot you from this shadowy valley of death and plant you firmly in his heavenly, before his heavenly throne with angels, archangels, and all the company of heaven for the rest of all eternity. Amen.